And now, broadcasting on Star Worldwide Networks, it's In the Green Room. Green is in, but what does that really mean for you? Join the gang for a fun and energetic half-glass, half-full perspective to what and how sustainability is the lifestyle for the future. It can really affect everything you do, from your health, wallet, environment, money, even your morals. So our goal, to help save the planet one show at a time. Now, welcome to the Green Room.
Welcome, everyone, to In the Green Room, and I'm Kinga.
I'm Quita, and we are your hosts of In the Green Room. Dot Green, and you
dot
guys.
Green, dot Green.
Yeah, don't forget Dot Green.
Dot Green, baby.
Dot Green is a really big deal, baby.
It's a huge deal, baby.
Don't forget the motto, guys. You know it's saving the planet,
one show at a time.
I know. King is excited.
Welcome back, Craig.
Yes, we've got Craig in the house, guys. We haven't had Craig for about a whole
month. Where have you been?
Month,
what happened to you?
It was 5 weeks.
And did you miss us?
I had gender reassignment.
I thought you were in Costa Rica.
No, well, that's where I had to go to get it done. It was cheaper. Trust me, it was cheaper. But
okay.
It's good to be back, and it's good to see you guys.
Did you miss us?
As much as you missed me.
Well, that's, you know what? That can be taken a whole lot of ways when you say that to somebody not knowing if they really missed you, Craig.
That's right.
We did, though. We did.
Miss
you.
That's why
we
it's
did miss
such
you.
An ambiguous statement.
You always add so much humor, and you come up with these little just witty comments, and we like it. We like it.
Yeah.
And your sound effects are the best.
And
did you listen to our show while you were gone?
I'm humbled.
Did you listen to our show while you were gone?
Actually, no, because I was busy doing other stuff. I didn't listen to anybody's show.
Oh, okay.
I was busy doing other stuff that I hadn't been able to do previously, and you can take that any way you want.
Take it how you want.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back. And Chet's in the house. Hi, Chet.
Hey, Chet. Chet's in the house. He won't turn the camera on himself, but you guys know Chet is Kinga's youngest baby. He's not really a baby. He's 21, aren't you, Chet? So he's a big baby. So Chet is behind the camera. So, hey.
So how was your week, Quita?
I've had an excellent week because the weather is awesome. And it seems that no matter.
I know you.
Are you singing because I'm singing?
I'm singing too.
I'll stop singing.
Why?
Go ahead. Tell me about your week, Kinga.
Okay. My week has been busy, 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 but good. A good busy.
Yes.
You and I have had the best luck and just things have just been. Just like little angels are coming to us that are being inspirational for our show.
Yes.
We've got two magazines now that we're going to be in, and that's going to be to be announced.
Yes, TBA. And then
we have Diane and Kit Getz, who are just walking in now. Welcome. Welcome to In the Green Room.
And then if you guys check out our In the Green Room dot green Facebook page, you're going to see Kinga and I had all sorts of fun at Lake Powell. Right?
That's right.
Absolutely. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. But we also want to tease, we have a very, very intriguing show tonight. We're talking some serious topics, but of course we're having a whole lot of fun because we're talking something, unfortunately, so many, not just kids, but adults are familiar with, and yes, that's bullying.
It's a very big topic, and we are so lucky to have the experts here to help us see how everyone can cope and how we can help our kids deal with this.
Right.
Jason, Lolly, do you want to say hello?
Hi. nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
And then, of course, guys, we're not just talking problems. We're talking solutions. So we've got another guest in the house to
all
talk
solutions.
About. Yes, all solutions.
All solutions.
Well, I mean, there are problems and concerns out there. So when we're talking bullying, that's definitely a problem. But we're not talking about it to make it stay a problem, right?
Correct.
So that's why we've got another guest in the house, Miss Alicia Nottaman. And she's here to talk solutions and how we can actually, make this better.
She's a psychologist that has a filled schedule, so she's not taking new clients. So our show's so lucky to get her on air, and she wants to come on as often as we need her, so that's very lucky. So between the two experts, we should be able to solve this bullying issue.
And of course, guys, if you have had any of these issues, you've been involved on the good or bad side, we want to hear from you too, right?
Right. Yes. And Craig is waving his hand. Yes, Craig. Okay, he wants to keep going. Okay,
stopped.
I just saw him waving, so I'm like, okay, what's going on here? I'm sure my son that's in studio here will, have little you know, tidbits to say about what I have to say. But he dealt with a experience when he was in like fourth grade by these two boys that, you know, they just were bigger than him. And he would come home, and prior to this experience with my son being bullied, it just only lasted like about a month, because I always had this, you know, I was adamant, no violence, don't hit anybody, don't push anybody back, just tell me about it. Well, then when your kid's being bullied, I'm like, no, go beat them up.
But I'm with you. You know what? You bring up a really good point, because how do you know what advice to give your kids? Because I'm big with my kids too, is don't throw the first hit, but don't get beat up.
Well, hold on. Chet was coming home. Uh-huh. He was in fourth grade, and he was telling me that these two, they were quads, and two boys and two girls, and the two boys would move his lunch and move him to the other table. And my son wanted to sit there, and he'd come home and tell me that. And I was like, you just get this fire about you when it's your own kid.
Because it's your baby.
Yes. And so I'd say, nope, don't move. And he's like, well, you know, he'd move. And so after about a week of this, I was like, that's it. We're getting boxing lessons. I'm telling the principal, and I'm going to let her know that you can just beat him up or push them away.
I'm going to let them know that you took boxing lessons, and they better watch out, right?
Yeah, I went to the principal who I was friends with, because uh-huh. she taught my kids, in the second and third grade, she taught both my kids, and she knew how good and nice my kids were. And so I said, you know, they're dealing with this, and the kid's mom was a teacher. And so it's kind of like they felt they could get away with whatever they wanted. They even took, my son was having a party, and they took the invitations out of his backpack and like threw them out. They did all this stuff within a month period. And it was enough to light me on fire to tell him, you're getting fighting lessons. I went to the principal. I said, he's not going to be pushed around anymore. I want him to retaliate. And you know what? The rest is history, because he did, you know, when they pushed them back really hard. And
that was enough to say, back up. You really don't want to mess with me.
Yeah. And it gained him respect, and all the other kids respected him. And then, you know, he's friends with those kids today.
Wow. So,
and my son has the most confidence, and I think that helped mold him. Thank God I didn't let those kids just bully my son.
And good for you as mom, because some of us would just go in there and want to fight ourselves.
Oh,
I mean, really,
me.
It's your baby.
I think I did have a couple words with one of them before my son did that, and I was in trouble.
Oops.
I know I'm the oldest fart in this room. At this point. Because I know somebody will come in that's older than me, but when I was a kid, my single-digit years were the 1960s. That was my elementary school years.
Aging yourself.
And I had three things going against me. I was the fat kid, I had no father in the house, and we were on welfare. And with no exaggeration, at least twice a week on my way home, I would get beat up, and there was never just one kid. It was always at least two. And when I was in, when I got pushed down the stairs once. You know.
So how'd you cope with this?
I kept it inside. Because I told the adults in my life at that time, my mother, my aunts, my uncles, you know what they told me? Suck it up.
Mm.
I told the principal, suck it up. That's what I got told when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in the 1960s. And, you know, the measures are taken today. But where was that when I was a kid?
Mm-hmm.
You know, back then it was a little bit more brutal. It was a little bit more.
Different times.
It was a whole different time. But. Mm-hmm. You know, I wish somebody had gone to bat for me the way you did. So that's, you know, just my contribution here.
Okay, Craig. Man, that is scary, especially because it's happening all the time these days. So, Jason, why don't you tell us a little bit, because you're a motivational speaker. And it's interesting because you say you have a whole nother, you don't call it anti-bullying, right?
Correct.
What do you call it and why?
I call it bullying prevention education because I'm also, not only am I a motivational speaker, I got into being a motivational speaker as a poet, and I'm also an author. So I wrote a book called Bullied, It Begins With the Eye. That was what Kinga was showing earlier, and I wrote a 3.5-month educational program that I teach in schools. So basically, what I did is I wanted to empower kids. You know, I wanted to help them be able to navigate the bullying situations, you know. And so help me. What was the original question again? I got off.
Well, you say you don't call it anti-bullying.
Yeah, so I don't call it anti-bullying. I call it bullying prevention education, because as a poet, word choice is very important to me. Word okay. choice, if we use the wrong type of verbiage, our interpretation is totally different. So anti-bullying, and one of the parts that I create in this discussion is that we are so emotionally reactive to bullying that we aren't able to step back and look at a person as a person. The bully as a person with their own struggles in their life, we're just quick to vilify, which is an emotional reaction, and we're quick to victimize, which is, as the mother, mm-hmm. you want to come and coddle and take care of and protect. And so part of the deal is what I'm trying to do is have a conversation, change the language. Because the language that we use and the irony of the whole situation is Stomp Out Bullying is one of the largest organizations. Well, how abrasive is that language? How is that language interpreted? Stomp out bullying? Mm-hmm. The language that we use is combat bullying, fight bullying, stomp out, beat bullying, cure bullying. Is mm-hmm. bullying a disease? Right. Let's be honest with ourselves. Can we really stop it? What we can do is we can help empower.
Cope with it.
I can help guide you, teach mm-hmm. you, educate you, empower you, inspire you, and prepare you to not only deal with bullying, but to mm-hmm. deal with the cruelty that you'll face your entire life, to deal with conflict, which is very different than bullying, mm-hmm. and to be able to distinguish the difference. So that's why I don't consider myself anti-bullying, because it's a negative and a negative. Mm-hmm. So of course it only encourages that emotional reaction of negativity. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to create a more positive conversation, because when I say bullying prevention education, that creates more hope. Mm-hmm. That makes a student feel like I'm there to help them. You know, we're not training soldiers here, right? And the language we use is like it's a war. Mm-hmm. This isn't a war. These are kids.
When it comes to like what happened with my son, he had two kids that were ganging up on him that were bigger than him, twice as big as him.
Right.
And their teacher was, I mean, their mother was the teacher mm-hmm. who was soon to be the principal. So there was a little, they thought they had the power to do whatever they want with him. So,
well, and I can understand being the victim, like you're yeah. saying with your son, some people may feel like they're at war. You know, right. maybe that's why right. there's so much negativity to it, because it feels, especially being on the other side, it feels so negative. And it's probably the victims who are saying, let's do something about it. Because if you're the one bullying, you're not thinking, let me make it better, because you're the problem, right?
Right.
Yeah, and that's why the bully is the one that's really instigating the situation.
Right.
But part of the conversation is really recognizing, why is that behavior happening?
There you go.
Okay, hurt people hurt people. When I ask the children, when I ask the youth, when I come into the classroom, I have them really do a lot of critical thinking. I ask them, I teach a lot of social-emotional learning, because I want them to understand their emotions in the moment, not just be able to understand them, but in the moment. And then I teach them positive mm-hmm. coping skills, and I teach them how to communicate. So by being able to do that, you're allowing a bully to be more reflective, to be able to identify the problems that are going on inside of them and not be so emotionally reactive. It all really comes back to this emotional reaction, you know, and so.
So let's say you have a child tomorrow, they come home and tell you that they're being bullied by somebody, or a group of bullies, what would you tell that kid to do?
Well,
what
it really
tell that parent?
It really depends. Every situation is different. There is no blanket answer. There is no blanket solution. What you can do, and sometimes, and as you all spoke about, sometimes the adults in our lives fail us. But we're all humans, mm-hmm. and we all make mistakes. And those adults don't necessarily have the right answers. And so it's being able to teach them and share with them resources like Teen Lifeline. That if to keep asking for help until they get the help they need. So, I mean, I would have to be able to address the situation first before I could really give a complete answer to that. But what I will say is I always ask somebody to ask themselves whether or not they feel unsafe. And that there's only honor, not shame, in asking for help. And there's only honor, not shame, in protecting yourself. And there's only honor, not shame, in doing so for other people. Mm-hmm. So in the youth area... Mm-hmm. As adults, we can really assess the danger of a situation, and I always believe that communication is the first step mm-hmm. to try to resolve, because if I make somebody aware, they have a choice, and they are responsible for that choice, and I've communicated, and I drew a boundary, so that feeds off each other into empowerment. So being able to, help them navigate through that, you know, let them, if a child feels unsafe, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I encourage them to go and ask for help. That there's only honor, not shame, in asking for help from an adult.
But the problem is, a lot of times, like even with my son, he didn't want help, because he thought it was uncool for like somebody to step in. And the only reason why I'm thinking about another situation, we were supposed to have a dean of a school that's a good friend of mine be on the show today, but she didn't get approval yet from the higher up officials. And she's the dean, and she's also been principal. She's a teacher. And she had a situation this last year where there were four boys that were bullying one boy. And when, for example, they would drag him out into the mud, roll him in the mud, and then run away. And they thought it was really funny. Well, the kid never wanted to call out the other kids that were bullying him. And the parents were up at arms. So then they were complaining all the time. And then the parents of the kids that were bullying were up at arms, saying their kids didn't do anything wrong. And so the dean had all this burden of dealing with all this bully situation. So she was very stressed out about it because she had both sides mad at her. And I would give her advice, and I just would tell her what I did, and that I think that it's really wrong for three or four boys that are bigger than a little guy to be rolling them in the mud and, you know, laughing and pushing them around.
Because
how do
you
stop that?
It is wrong.
But I mean, how do you stop a situation like that? What do you do to resolve that specific?
Well, in that specific situation, you're talking about four boys and one outnumbered kid.
Yes.
You know, obviously, going and asking for help is the right answer or the right approach. And you know, and then you have the fact that they don't feel like you can help them, and there's this really big helpless scenario. You know, and so I think it requires a lot of individual conversation with each kid. And not just
she did do that.
And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And it depends on their approach. Is it positive? Is it negative? Am all I doing? Am I cursing you? Or am I being loving, supporting, and caring? There is a big difference. There's a balance between discipline and genuine concern. You know, and there has to be this balance because, I mean, I don't know about you, but anytime I'm just getting yelled at, I immediately get defensive. You know, and so,
the parents didn't want it coined the term bullying. They were upset with the dean for calling it bullying. And the child, when questioned with the authorities in front of him, said, oh, no, they're not bullying me.
Well, by nature, by definition, if it's repeatedly happening, the definition of bullying is if you are repeatedly being intimidated, harassed, put down, or having someone shift the power away from you. There's no way to break away from that definition. So whether they want that or not, that's the reality of the situation.
And I think bottom line, too, I don't think it matters what it's called, whether who agrees, whether it's bullying or not bullying.
Right. It's just wrong.
Like you're saying, it's wrong.
It's just wrong.
Now, you asked me, what did I think about what you did with your son?
Yes.
By empowering him. You empowered him to feel confident to be able to stick up for himself, right? Mm-hmm. I always say that meeting violence with violence creates more violence. That's not to say that...
Hold on. I never said to him, go and beat them up.
Right.
I said, if they're pushing you out of your spot...
And that's
eating,
where I was going to get to.
Don't move.
So
push them back.
So the thing is
if they touch you, you touch
them
back.
The reason I'm teaching them emotional skills and the reason I'm teaching them how to be empowered and how to communicate and draw boundaries is to try to avoid going to that spot. But if you feel so unsafe that someone is physically attacking you, I mean, by all means, you have every right to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. You said that, you know, he felt like it wasn't cool to ask for help. Well, that's why I say there's only honor, not shame, in asking for help. There's only honor, not shame, in protecting yourself. And that falls into that category. If someone hits you, you have every right to defend yourself. But the moment that you have defended yourself and have got them to a point to where you're now attacking them, that makes you no better.
Right, that's wrong.
So you need to be able to find, again, balance... Mm-hmm. Of recognizing, okay, I defended myself. I stood up for myself. Mm-hmm. When do I need to stop and walk away? Because now I can.
That's good advice.
That's really good advice.
Great advice.
And we're going to talk again with Alicia. She is a psychologist and with skincare as well. We're going to talk with her about some other ways to deal with it because, like you're saying, how do you know? And I think this isn't just kids, it's parents, because as parents, as Kinga just expressed, we get emotional. And sometimes when you're emotional, you may not have the best reaction. Not saying your reaction was bad.
Well,
you
it might
had
not
a
have been
reaction.
The best. I mean, it was just all I could think of.
But how do you know? So I think that's a good question for us to have answered. Alicia is going to talk with us about that. As well as, you know, for those kids, it's not just with bullying, because you're making a good point. And you too, as they're afraid to speak up. So even if they're not in trouble, you know, you get defensive the moment somebody disagrees or the moment you're going to tell a teacher, oh, my God, they took something from me. It's this big thing. It's this, you know, and that's one of the things I think she can answer as well. Plus, we do have somebody here that can talk. She's going to come back and talk a little bit about an actual bullying experience. So
we have
first,
Kit, you've got Kit
in the house. So we're going to talk some bullying. Solutions, the victim, and we're going to get back more with you as well, Jason. But
we've
got
to
lighten the mood. We've got Mr. James Mills
in the house.
And yeah. James, come on over, because I do want to ask you the name of his band, People Who Could Fly.
I love that.
Isn't that a great name?
That's a great name.
But we want to know, how'd you come up with that name?
So the name is a reference to an African folktale about a witch doctor who had the spell that he'd say to people and give them wings where they could fly away from whatever was troubling them.
And, love that, right?
Yeah, we like to think
that's
our music,
perfect for the show.
Yeah, it's really appropriate. But our music, I like to think, is empowering people to really believe in themselves and get themselves out of whatever's troubling them.
Okay.
It's like the words of the witch doctor.
Quita, you did good finding James
Thank
Mills.
You very much.
What a perfect
Mr.
fit for
James,
today.
What are you going to be singing for us?
This song is called Fire in Your Eyes. It's off of our newest album that came out a couple months ago. And it's really just about same ideas, you know, being yourself and letting that fire shine.
Okay. Well, we are ready to hear what you've got, James.
All right. And I'm good. Thank you. Shaking all the walls just to feel the beat. Crashing all these silent city streets. Hold me as you go. Keep it alive, light up the sky. Yeah, the night is the fire in your eyes. It'll live on into the dawn. Yeah, the night is a fire in your eyes. The feeling is high as they let you on. As the eye can't forget you. Heat of desire, night is a fire in your eyes. Oh. Just to feel a beat. Take me back, take me for a drive. Hold me as you go. Keep it alive, light up the sky. Yeah, the night is a fire in your eyes. It'll live on into the dawn. Yeah, the night is a fire in your eyes. Feeling is high as they let you on. See, I can't forget you. Heat of desire, night is a fire in your eyes. Oh. Fire, fire, fire. Fire, fire, fire. Why can't you see I can't get enough? 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 Keep it light up the sky. Yeah, the night is a fire in your eyes. It'll live on into the dawn. Yeah, the night is a fire in your eyes. Feeling is high, yes, they let you on. See, I can't forget you. Heat of desire, night is a fire in your eyes. Oh. Fire, fire, fire. Fire, fire, fire.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That was one you wrote?
Yes, yes, that's an original song off of our newest album called Fire in Your Eyes.
Love it. Love
Incredible.
It.
So, thank
you. No, don't go away. We've got a couple of questions for you.
We want to know how you're recycling at home. What are you doing to save the planet?
So the usual example I give people about how I'm helping to save the planet, I drive a hybrid car, and I have since 2012 or so. That's a small thing I do.
That's a big thing.
Thank you. I also recycle pretty much everything I can. If it has a little triangle on it, I throw it in that bin.
And, good job.
Yeah, thanks. And hold back on the water usage here and there.
Great.
So
thank
if people
so
want to get in touch with you, they want to hear a little more from you, how do we find you?
Best way to find us would be on Spotify to look up People Who Could Fly. We also have Instagram or Facebook, all just People Who Could Fly in all those different channels.
Love it. Well, we're going to hear some more from you here coming up in the next 15 minutes
or
so,
sticking
right?
Around. That's
is
right.
Your band just, is it always just you, or do you have others in your band?
The other two are actually in class right now, so I came here to represent the whole trio.
And you're doing a great job.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
You're doing a great job. But maybe one of these times we can have all three of you.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Totally.
Okay, great.
Love, love, love. So before we get back to our guests,
yes,
let's talk our premier sponsor.
The Goodwill.
Yes. And let me tell you what, though, now Craig is up in the house, and you guys know Craig is our biggest Goodwill fan because he knows how to make Goodwill look good. He's wearing Goodwill clothes. For
there
those of you not on our Facebook page, you don't see him modeling.
He's
but
got pants, shirt. He's got it all. And you know what? We're shopping at Goodwill. Every other week we're going and we're getting outfits for our show.
In fact, tomorrow we are going out because Halloween. I know it's a month away, but everybody's already celebrating, and Goodwill actually has
some costumes.
I mean, $5 or less. They have some more too, but so we'll be showing you guys that live tomorrow as well.
Queet and I are going to put on some costumes. And then also we have a Halloween show coming up, and we have a fan from New York City that's going to be, we're flying, in the green room is flying her in to be part of our show.
She's been
so loyal. So loyal, so funny. She always shares our stuff. And you know what? You fans out there, keep sharing our stuff, commenting, and we'll do something nice for you too.
Yeah.
Thanks, Leticia.
All right. So we want to get back to our topic. Again, we've got Miss Alicia Nottaman in the house, and she is a psychologist. And she's talking today of some other solutions because, Jason, you introduced it so well. And we're going to come back to you,
Outstanding.
Too, of course. But you said right away, you had some things that we can do as parents and for the kids. What were you saying earlier?
Well, it's so interesting because as I was taking notes earlier to prepare for the show, I feel like Jason actually covered most of my notes. So I'm expanding.
Yes.
So it's very validating to know I actually know what I'm doing. So thanks, Jason.
My heart is complete again.
That's wonderful.
I thought you volunteered for your Not My
Kid.
Yes.
So we actually recognize that tonight. Exactly. So Jason and I have both been volunteers for Not My Kid, which is a wonderful organization in town. And so I've actually been on their professional advisory board back since, I believe, 2008 was when I first got involved. And we do a number of different presentations throughout the community and schools to help advocate, intervene, and try to prevent issues that affect our community's youth. So from bullying to relationship, domestic violence type issues that come up within relationships, substance abuse, it's just been really remarkable. And so bullying is one of our topics, and we've had a number of campaigns over the years. And so I've definitely talked about this with the professionals in the association. So I've taken some notes just in the interest of time. I'm going to mention a number of different things that came to my mind just as we've been sitting here, and I'm not giving them in any particular order, but I think that they're all really worth reinforcing and mentioning. So as Jason mentioned, safety is crucial. So first and foremost, you want to make sure not only that the victim of the bullying is safe, but that the bully themselves, and I don't even want to use labels, but that the individual perpetrating the behaviors is safe.
Absolutely.
You know, I wrote down exactly what Jason alluded to earlier, which is that the bully has a story as well. And I think oftentimes they get neglected in here. But how would you feel as a parent if you knew that the child bullying your child actually was the victim of ongoing child abuse for many, many years? And maybe this was the way that came out. I wonder how that would change the affective reaction in the pit of your stomach to know, okay, not to say that ever makes it okay, but just to be able to show some compassion to both ends of that spectrum and to intervene in a very different way from a different space. I think, as you mentioned,
that's a very good point.
Yeah, I think it really does change that. And we just don't know. We never know someone's story. But as you mentioned, hurt people. And so, you know, I think that soundbite is so critical to remember. And so part of that becomes do something. Always do something. Craig, it breaks my heart that you kept getting that message of, you know, don't, you know, suck it up, deal with it. And that absolutely breaks my heart, because no child should ever have to suck it up. Nobody, not a child or not adult, should ever have to suck it up. The reality of the situation is bullying is immobilizing. That is quite often why bystanders, family, faculty, parents, they don't do anything because they don't know how, and they're scared. They're scared of making the situation worse. And so sometimes doing nothing seems better than doing something, because you're just so petrified how, you know, how much work could this get? Is somebody's life at risk of, you know, being threatened? And so I think part of it is rolling out educational programs throughout school systems, employment systems, everywhere, or having parents seek out assertiveness training. Because a lot of times, again, I mean, probably every patient who comes into my office for private practice work, I educate on assertiveness at some point throughout the course of treatment, because I think everybody could benefit from learning how to speak from that place of empowerment, how to use their words rather than react. And so a soundbite that I love is resolve, don't react. And so focusing on the steps rather than coming from that emotional place and teaching them the words, the, you know, as cheesy as it is, the, you know, I'd like to talk with you about something that's been on my mind or that's been concerning me, or that I think will really help us to communicate more effectively when you, I feel, you know, in the future, I'd appreciate it. If sometimes people have no idea the effect they're having on us, because there's subtle forms of emotional bullying. And then there's, of course, the more extreme versions that we're talking about today. So I think assertiveness training both for parents and then trickling it down into the school system so that children can learn that. And Jason, it sounds like the program that you offer very much touches on that or incorporates that. Absolutely. And so so those are a couple of the first things that came to mind. Other things that I wrote down were pulling each person aside, nurturing the person who's been subject to the behavior, and really Brené Brown is one of my favorite speakers. I reference her whenever I'm doing any sort of talks in the community. She's just amazing. You can Google her on YouTube. There's amazing videos and books out there. But one of my favorite videos of hers is called Vulnerability. And she speaks to the courage and the strength of vulnerability, because we're given this lesson or this a lot of people grow up with this idea that vulnerability is a weakness. The truth is, think about how hard it is to be vulnerable. That's anything but weak. In fact, it takes a lot of strength and courage to be vulnerable. And so to teach children from a very young age to be able to say, I feel sad, I feel scared, I feel vulnerable, is actually a huge strength, because to your point, that's then asking for the help, and it's asking for, you know, somebody to be there for you and honoring, not shaming, that supportive outreach. So nurturing, sitting with the child. There's also a video, I believe it's called Empathy, that Brené Brown has on YouTube. It's only about 2.5 minutes long. It's wonderful. It's a little cartoon depiction, but it's phenomenal. And at the end, it has her sitting down and saying, you know, quite often we just want to make the negative thing go away. Like, well, at least this didn't happen, and at least that didn't happen. And we minimize and invalidate people's experiences and our children's experiences. And instead saying, you know, I don't really know what to say right now, but I'm just so glad you told me. And that is so powerful, that we don't have to have the words. We don't have to know the solution. We just need to sit there and show that we care. I mean, we want to show that curiosity.
And Craig, listening to this, because this speaks right to you, you were actually bullied. Listening to what she says, she's saying right now, how do you feel like this would have made a difference for you growing up? Any of this hitting
well,
home?
It makes a lot of sense. The only way I can describe this really is back in the 1960s, when I was in my single-digit years, like I said before, back then, if you were on welfare, if you were fat, if you did not have a father in the house, those things were not accepted back then as much as they are now. And I had no way to deal with this because, as I said, I went to the adults and they just said, suck it up. I went to the school principal, suck it up. That's all I kept hearing all the way through high school until one day I snapped at one of the popular kids. I snapped. And I punched him dead in the face in the gymnasium, knocked him down. He stayed down there for a few seconds. Everybody stood there with their mouths open. And this kid slowly got up. His mouth was all bloody. The gym teacher called me into the office. And I sat there expecting the worst. And he looked at me and he said, it's about damn time you stood up for yourself. Mm. He said, but don't say I told you that. And then after he said, but you can't do it again. You can't do it again or else you will get suspended, whatever. And then as we're going back out into the gymnasium, he kind of, you know, put his hands on, no, remember what I said, Heiss, kind of pulling that thing. But something like that, you know, I never thought of the whole other side of it, the whole, you know, what are they going through? I mean, I don't know.
Well, in my son's situation, shortly after that, I said, let's invite them over. they were the first. So what, your advice is great, and your advice, Jason, is great, because I did feel sorry for them, and I realized there's got to be something that's going on there. And we did. He became like the best of friends with them. Mm-hmm. So they were at our house all the time. Yeah. And they still are to this day.
And you bring up a really good point, too, because for parents, sometimes we don't know. And Craig, your parents, your teachers, your principal, back in the day, that's what it was. It was tough love. So a lot of that goes on generation, and it keeps coming down. So then we get to now, and you still have some parents that has that same mentality, because you can only teach what you know. You know, so what do you say to those parents, those teachers, those adults who, this is what I know, and it worked for me?
Well, one of the things that,
good question,
my kids, both of my kids have been homeschooled, okay? And that was more my wife's decision. But in my mind, because of what I went through, I didn't want them to go through it. I didn't want them to go mm-hmm. through that either. So it was kind of it was more my wife, but I was thinking that too, and I told her that. You know what I went through. I told you what I went through. I don't want them to go through that. And maybe I was being overprotective in that area. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I did not want to see them have to go through what I did. I was afraid for them.
Yeah.
I was.
And the hardest part is we can't guarantee they wouldn't. But that is exactly what happens a lot of times, is we overcompensate by completely trying to protect them and keep them in, you know, in between our wings, and not even allow them to expose them to hardship. But then what kind of a future are we preparing them for, to never have to face hardship? Which a lot of people do. They overcompensate because they want to overprotect. Mm. And so a few other things I wrote down now, and this both for whoever's involved, therapy. Therapy can be absolutely invaluable. We can't make somebody take therapy seriously. So we can't force somebody to sit in that therapy chair and engage in that process. We can hope, we can encourage, we can nurture, we can have them go to a few visits with different counselors to where they can feel like a good fit, but we can't make them enjoy that process or get something out of it. But it is something that I would encourage, at least having that conversation. Another thing that I think is absolutely critical for parents to think about is we want to absolutely avoid defensiveness, and we want to avoid interrupting at all costs. Mm. It is so absolutely tempting for parents, for faculty to jump in, you know, feel like they know the answers, or feel like, again, because they are so emphatic and passionate in wanting to do something about it, they interrupt. And now the child stops using their voice, because what's the point? You know, mom is not listening anyway, or they're just going to do what they want to do or what have you. And it's so, so important to protect against that. Put your cell phones away, set aside dedicated time, and truly just listen and let them get whatever out. I actually, you know, with some of my patients who have a hard time not interrupting, I say, okay, I'm going to count to three. And when there's 3 seconds of silence, then you can contribute again. And it's a really good way to practice that skill.
And I think, though, as a parent, that's a hard skill to have, mm-hmm. because I think my kids would agree, Mom, you know it all. But we say that to the kids because they don't know, and they don't have that wisdom, and they don't know how to think past, this is what I want right now. So as a parent, we feel that it's our job to lead them in the right direction. But you don't want to be lecturing all the time either, mm-hmm. but you can't let them fall all the time. There's only so many falls you want the kid to have. You know what I'm saying? So I know with my kids, in fact, my youngest, he's here tonight, and he'll say, well, Mom, you're just going to tell me such and such. So they don't want to hear it. So then what do you say?
So then I would actually change your approach, because mm-hmm. there's a phenomenal book called The Lost Art of Listening. I love it. Once you read it, you're going to think everyone in your life is a terrible listener. But it talks about if somebody keeps saying the same thing over and over again, the other person's not listening, change your approach. I would engage them in a dialogue. Well, sweetheart, you know what? If let's say somebody that you care about were in this situation, what advice might you give them? And have the child come up with the advice.
That's a good idea.
Because usually when we remove ourselves from that situation, great we're idea. Able to come up with it.
Mm-hmm.
If the child is kind of shut down, it's okay. You be consistent. Be the oak tree. Be consistent. Be solid. Be unwavering. Keep using that approach. Eventually, the child will come around and realize, okay, Mom actually does care, because she keeps asking and not imposing.
What I love, these tips are so positive, and I really feel like we've not been giggling as much this show, because it is such a serious topic,
yeah.
and nobody wants to see their child, you know, in harm's way or yeah. upset. So it is quite a serious topic. But what I love is this is all positive about how we can really help the kids from being bullied, and help the bully too. Mm-hmm.
So when we come back, we want to hear more from Jason, because he has a book
Yay.
Focusing on this. We'll hear more
yes.
from you, Alicia. Bully. And then we also have a whole nother form of bullying that I think a lot of people don't think about. So we'll have Diane talk with us a little more about that.
Well, and people even get bullied at work. I mean,
yes.
I don't. Yeah. I have a great non-bully partner.
Well, I don't know if I'd agree with that, but she just doesn't know that I'm bullying her.
I love when you tell me what to do and you get strong with me.
All right, Mr. James Mill, come back over, lighten the mood, make us happy. What are you singing for us right now?
This song is called Take Your Time. It's about meeting someone new, someone exciting, and trying to play it cool.
All right, let's play it cool then.
On my own, moving so slowly. You set the tone, you really know me. Take your time. We keep sharing glances, it feels so right. You know, holding on to something, still holding on. I'm awake tonight if you take your time. Oh, if you take your time. Your time, if you take your time. Lost in the sound, holding you closely. You pass through the crowd, fading and flowing. Take your time, we keep sharing glances, it feels so right. You know, holding on to something, still holding on. I'm away tonight if you take your time. Oh, if you take your time. Your time, if you take your time. Thoughts got on the tip of my tongue. Fall back, pour out, and come undone, come undone. Take your time. We keep sharing glances, it feels so right. You know, holding on to something, still holding on. I'm away tonight if you take your time. Oh, if you take your time. Your time, if you take your time.
All right, who did you write that one for?
Fun, happy music, I love it.
That's actually a made-up scenario, but you know, I can totally relate to the
feeling. Uh-huh.
Are you single?
Sure.
Not naming names. I do have a girlfriend, yeah.
Ah, she's a lucky girl, you have a great voice.
Thank
great
you.
Demeanor, and
that girlfriend just saved you from Kinga, just so you know.
I'll thank her later.
All right, tell us again, just really quick, how can people find you?
People Who Could Fly on Spotify, on Instagram, or Facebook.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome.
We'll
thank
have you
so
again.
Much.
Are we going to end with a song?
Of course we
okay,
will.
So we get one more.
There will be more later, yes.
Okay, thank you. So welcome, Diane Getz.
Thank you.
You're part of our show now in the green room.
Okay, just listening to Craig's story brought back this, my own story of being bullied as a little kid. I was in the 70s, so this was 70s for me, right? At that age, say kindergarten. And every day there was a girl, I could say her name, but I won't, who was probably 3 years older than me, three grades higher, and she used to come over and pinch me.
Uh-oh.
Just pinch me until I couldn't stand it.
That's not funny.
And I didn't know why. And she would just like seek me out of like the line or whatever, just to come over, and she'd pinch me and just watch my reaction. And I was a really, really shy child. And I never really said anything at school. But I mean, I was terrified. Like every day I'm like looking around for her. I'm like, oh, here she comes, here she comes. And, you know, I'm sure my little friends said, oh, stop, stop. But anyway, I did tell my mom, and, you know, Craig's situation, similar thing. My mom, she never went to the school. She finally, after a couple of times I complained about it, wrote a letter for me to take to the teacher that said what was happening. And I do remember my second grade teacher, her taking, you know, going over to this girl and saying, don't you ever do that again. And from then on, it happened maybe once or twice after that. Like, she couldn't get enough of me. But I mean, it was the craziest thing. But she had these kind of like long nails, and she just pinched the heck out of me. And, but anyway, it kind of
said, don't do that. Or
no,
you never spoke
but
back?
See, like as a parent myself, I've been more of the helicopter parent, and I haven't been like, oh, suck it up or whatever. I'm like, right, Johnny on the spot, you know, anything that's happening with my kids.
I was a helicopter
too.
And
because I think I was bullied as a child. I mean, you know, that was really my one thing that I remember. But anyhow, I see having raised and am raising three children, how at school, you're so right. I mean, the teachers, they kind of just like let it go. I mean, if they witness it, maybe they'll do something. But for the most part, they kind of just like let the kids figure it out. And, you know, I had one daughter go to an all girls school for high school. And my daughter's a pretty sweet girl, good heart. And
very
I mean,
sweet.
She witnessed a lot of bullying there, and it's almost as if it's a rite of passage to be bullied and you move on. And I think that's kind of how they might think about the school. But anyway, I'm here more or less to talk about with my younger kid, social media bullying, which I think's taken front and center these days. I mean, all
it's
across
easy,
the board. It's
because
not,
they
it's
can
not
hide.
Even just middle school kids or high school mm-hmm. kids, it's adults. But I mean, having a girl, and I watch all that happens, and mm-hmm. I mean, you can really torment a young adolescent girl with the use of a phone and Snapchat or Instagram, where you're posting a picture and you post it and you tag people mm-hmm. and, you know, just to, you know, show that you're not in this picture. You weren't involved. You weren't invited. And I mean, it is like that every weekend I see for girls that are subject to this. And there are a lot of hurt feelings. And I mean, that's like, I mean, it really tugs at your, you know, your heartstrings for these girls, because it's like they're already trying to just, you know, grow up. And you've got, you know, the physical bullying stuff or mental bullying stuff at school and being left out maybe. But then you've got it. You can't get away from it. You can't escape it with the phones.
Well, I think that can continue on into adulthood, because
absolutely.
I think they're, you know, I'm somebody that doesn't care about that kind of stuff. I include everybody. I'm nice to everybody. And I've always had that attitude that I really don't care what other people think. I mean,
right.
as far as like someone doesn't like me, that's their problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of pass it on to my kids.
But you don't like to be judged. And
right.
so that takes you
that's
into
true.
A whole spin of being defensive.
I don't
defensive.
Like to be judged.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
That
and
true.
That still people,
point,
you could still feel that whole bullying,
right.
you know? And I think with social media though, it's so easy because you can hide behind the computer.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
you don't even have to reveal yourself ever if you
right.
don't want to.
Right.
But what's your advice? I mean,
well,
what
and then
would you tell
also
your
with
kids?
That, I mean, there's, you post a picture, say. Now, how many people liked it? How many people didn't like it? Who commented? Who didn't comment? I mean, these are all things that you're like these young girls and young boys too. I mean, they're building their value off of what other people think.
Mm.
And,
right.
And how many likes did I get on that picture? And it means the world to them. So it's really sad. It's really sad.
Well, because
what to do about it?
Yes. What are some solutions, would you think?
Thinking back, I would say hold off on getting your child a phone as long as you can.
Yes.
or allowing them on these social media sites as long as you can, because, you know, once you open that door, there's no going back, and all the other kids are participating, and it's like, if they're not part of it, they feel so left
out.
Well,
I think if you can get them busy doing something that they're really passionate about, that makes them stand out, where they're like really involved in something that's a cool thing that's bigger than that, mm-hmm. they can stay so focused with that that they're not going to be thinking about. I mean, it's a long story, but I'm in a clique of friends that I'm in, and we're all nice to each other, but occasionally you'll get, you know, one or two of them that'll like have a get together and like exclude somebody.
Yeah.
And then, you know, whenever I have a get together, I'm like, everyone's invited. Well, and then I have a friend that'll be like, well, so-and-so and so, I'm like, everyone's mm-hmm. invited. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't do tit mm-hmm. for tat, and I don't keep score. And so I think that's a good way to pass on your kids to, you know, just don't judge, just turn the other cheek and be nice.
Right. But I agree with you, but I do think that in this day and age, it's what you, Jason, and what you are, I'm sorry, I forgot
Alicia.
Your name. Mm-hmm. Alicia, are helping to assist kids with to understand and be assertive themselves. But then it's like a whole new ball game when you get those phones and what these kids are up against, and even the chats going back and forth. I mean, they're vicious. They're vicious. The language they use. I mean, it's really frightening.
So what's a good age then for them to get the phone? Because if they don't have the phone and everybody else has the phone, then they're going to be excluded.
Yeah, but you know what? I think that just depends on the kids, because my kids are those kids who, you know, feel like we're the bad parents because they didn't get phones and they don't,
well,
you know,
insane,
in high school.
My nephew
didn't
have
a phone. But I don't think it's an age. I think it's a case by case. And Jason, mm-hmm. would you agree? Because you've talked about confidence is huge, security is huge, you know, feeling secure, because
absolutely.
Insecurity in itself causes you just to be bullied because it's easy, you know. You have this book. Can you quickly tell us a little bit about this book and how people can get the book?
You can get the book either on my website, which is bull-i-ed.com, or you can get it on amazon.com. You know, I separate the I because I really believe it starts with the individual. So one of the things that I want to say about that is, you were talking about, you know, we care so much about other people's opinions. One of the most empowering notions that I give our youth is, nobody knows us better than we know ourselves. And, it's a beautiful thing to be able to plant the seed of you get to choose whose opinions have value and whose don't. Mm-hmm. And any opinion about you other than yourself really is an uneducated opinion, because they don't know what you have going on in your life. And so it's easier to not carry their boulder, not carry their burdens. And so I always use that empowerment element. And
oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yep.
And
that's
Alicia, you're making a great point on what he's saying, something we all need to consider, which is?
Yeah, I'd be remiss not to mention that it's so important to ask our kids about suicide.
Yeah.
The rates right now are astronomically high, especially in the Phoenix area. They've gone up. I just got a statistic earlier from Not My Kids, something like 81%. And so don't be afraid to ask. It's so important. It's just such a terrible thing. And so, you know, don't be afraid to have the conversation about whether your kids have considered that, and really just listen.
I heard you talking about Teen Lifeline.
Teen Lifeline is an excellent resource that they can call confidentially and anonymously from 3 to 9 p.m. They have youth that are trained to have those conversations. I do want to chime in real quick. One, thank you for suggesting mm-hmm. the conversation with the parents. Mm-hmm. Thank you for suggesting that they listen and be an active listener, because we want to teach.
Yeah.
I'm a teacher. Yeah. My son has been the bully and bullied. And there are deeper reasons which we've identified that. But the issue of cyberbullying, mm-hmm. the beautiful and crazy thing about it is we have more control over that than we realize through our privacy settings, through blocking people. And we don't have to. We act like, well, we want to be a part of it. But if we know that we're going to walk into a room that's poison, why would we walk into that room? We don't have to be there. That is a choice. You know, and it's a really powerful choice to recognize. And so, you know, you can always, and if anyone ever is, to take a screenshot and document it.
Great. I mean, we have learned so much on this show, and there is so, so much more. We want to definitely continue this conversation in the greenroom.green. Get on our Facebook page and continue.
Because it's helping kids. It's saving the planet by helping our children and our teens. And Diane, I think, had something to say real quick.
Just one last thing. I mean, we're all about being kind, and I plead to parents out there to please talk to your kids about social media bullying, because you're the one that needs to know what's going on their phones, and you can really curb a lot of that activity.
Awesome, guys.
That's a very
thank
good
you.
Point. It does start with the
we
parents.
We want to thank all of our guests. We want to thank our sponsor, Goodwill. And we want to thank you guys Goodwill. For listening. Don't forget our motto, guys. Saving the planet one show at a time.
Thank you for listening to In the Green Room. Join us here live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. or anytime on demand 24/7 on StarWorldWideNetworks.com.